Good mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, Findlay Police Chief James Mathias joins us to discuss the release of body cam footage from last month's fatal officer-involved shooting and the impact such incidents have on the entire department. Also this morning, a new report says $76 billion worth of packages could be vulnerable to porch piracy this holiday season. I'll tell you how to make sure your gifts don't disappear before they even get a chance to go underneath the tree. And happening around town, did you miss the MCPA's Dueling Pianos show earlier this month? Well, the Hancock County Agricultural Society is giving you another chance to enjoy the fun over Thanksgiving weekend. We'll get details. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Monday, November 18th, 2024. So the president of Netflix said of the Mike Tyson-Jake Paul fight on Saturday, they issued a statement. The president of Netflix said, we don't want to dismiss the poor experience of some members, and we know we have room for improvement, but we still consider this event a huge success. This unprecedented scale, meaning 60 million households trying to stream the fight all at once, created many technical challenges, which the launch team tackled brilliantly by prioritizing stability of the stream for the majority of users. And I guess if you are not in the majority, well, nerds to you. Basically what they're saying. This is significant because they've got NFL games they're going to stream on Christmas Day. Netflix will have a doubleheader with the Chiefs and the Steelers and the Ravens and Texans on Christmas Day on Netflix. So if they can't handle a Mike Tyson-Jake Paul fight with 60 million households live streaming, just imagine how many people are going to be, how many households are going to be trying to stream the NFL games on Christmas Day. They've got some work to do in just a short amount of time, you know? So we'll see. So, among the first things you need to know this morning, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day, the U.S. Postal Service. This is big news. This is big news. The U.S. Postal Service is coming out with a Betty White stamp. That's right. The late Betty White is getting her own forever postage stamp, and thus will be with us forever. The actress's image is one of among a few new stamps that are set to debut in 2025. The Postal Service called the Golden Girls star an icon of American television who gained younger generations of fans even as she entered her 90s. The stamp features a digital illustration of Betty White based on a 2010 photograph. Of course, she passed away in 2021, the age of 99. So that is awesome. That is all kinds of awesome. I'm not a big stamp collector, but I may have to go out and get myself some Betty White Forever stamps. Just because that is very iconic. Big news there. What else is going on? I saw this story on the Newswire this morning. I don't mean to alarm you or anything, but a recent Pentagon report says a UFO nearly hit a commercial airliner off the coast of New York. A UFO, let me repeat that. A UFO nearly hit a commercial airliner off the coast of New York. It doesn't say exactly when this happened, but officials heard witnesses recount UFO encounters, including that one, apparently, during a hearing on Capitol Hill last week. The incident between the UFO and a commercial airliner, documented in a full report reviewing hundreds of unidentified flying objects in an ongoing investigation. Now, that's not to say they're not claiming that this is, aliens that are, not watching where they're going in their UFOs. Many cases, the unidentified flying objects are birds or satellites or balloons, whatever. There are reasonable explanations. They just don't know for sure. And thus, they are unidentified. This report, though, details a cylindrical object flying over the Atlantic Ocean and almost crashing into a commercial jet, according to the flight crew. Several other cases involved military aircraft being followed by UFOs. Being followed by UFOs. So maybe it is visitors from another planet. I don't know. But if it is, we hope that they will keep better lookout moving forward. Watch out for cross traffic in the air. We've got road rage. We don't want air rage with the aliens. You know what I mean? That is rather disturbing, though. A UFO almost crashing into a commercial airliner. Wow. Kind of scary. Let me see. A couple of other items here. Among the first things you need to know this morning, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. We're talking about Betty White getting her own stamp. Bigfoot may be getting his own emoji. That's right. Bigfoot may soon be living on your phone if the proposed Sasquatch emoji becomes a reality next year. Which, of course, leads to the question, under what circumstances would you use a Sasquatch emoji? I don't know. But a new round of sightings of the big furry guy has apparently made it relevant, according to the Unicode Consortium. Those are the ones that keep track of all of the official emoji symbols. It is a consortium that publishes the official list for universal compatibility across devices. It's a nonprofit in California that makes all of the important emoji decisions, it says here. The important emoji decisions. There are some potentially more useful emoji that may be coming next year. According to a report in the New York Post, more variations on skin tones of the various human emojis. A new big-eyed, distorted face. Okay. I don't know what this looks like. I haven't seen it. There are also a ballet dancer performing in arabesque. Is that what it's... I'm not familiar with ballet. Is that... I say that right? Anyway. Ballet dancer, an apple core, an orca, a trombone, a landslide. How you do a landslide in an emoji. A treasure chest. Okay. And a fight cloud emoji that is popular in comic books and cartoons. A fight cloud. Okay. The Unicode Consortium's official recommendations will not come out until September of next year, and then it will be up to companies like Apple and Google and Microsoft to decide if they will implement the new emoji and exactly what they will look like on the various platforms. But it's something that we can look forward to, perhaps a Bigfoot emoji. Why not a Betty White emoji? I mean... The Bigfoot emoji or the Betty White stamp? Why not a Betty White emoji and a Bigfoot stamp? I'm just saying. I'm going to throw that out there. And lastly here, among the first things that you need to know this morning, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day, something to keep in mind as we come up on the holiday season. 39% of Americans, so nearly 2 out of 5 of us, worry about our eating habits during the holidays, because you've got Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, every single one of those, and they come in quick succession, even quicker succession this year because Thanksgiving is as late on the calendar as it can possibly be. So you get these one right after another, these holidays, all of them. Food is kind of the centerpiece, especially Thanksgiving, but even Christmas and New Year's, food is kind of the centerpiece. And generally speaking, it's not necessarily healthy food, or at least there's a lot of unhealthy food mixed in there with the sweet treats of the holiday season and so on. So anyway, 39% of Americans say that they worry about their eating habits over the holiday season, whether eating the wrong things or eating too much or both. This is a survey from Orlando Health. The reason why this is significant, the reason I bring this up, is that dietitians say a little bit of extra fat or sugar should not derail your healthy habits. Dietitian Sarah Rehm says, I see a lot more anxiety about weight gain than actual weight gain from patients around the holidays. It's the anxiety that they worry about could have a detrimental effect on your health. And it's not the food. There's more anxiety over the food than there is overeating. While 25% of people try to skip meals to save calories, that technique, she says, can backfire. This is how this manifests itself. People are more worried than they should be. It is a lot easier to make healthier decisions when we are not hungry. Having a light meal that includes satiating nutrients like protein and fiber before you go to a holiday party or gathering will help you feel fuller and make mindful choices about what you're eating. Long and short of it is, don't starve yourself before the holiday gathering thinking that you are doing a good thing by preparing to overeat. You'll overeat that much more. So anyway, long and short of it is, the anxiety is what trips people up more so than the actual overeating. Something to think about as we come up on the holiday season. There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Monday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather, partly sunny today, a high around 60, mostly cloudy tonight, a low in the middle 50s. The City of Findlay leaf and limb pickup begins today and runs through December 6th. City employees will collect leaves that have been placed in biodegradable paper bags at the curb. The city makes clear that plastic bags and loose leaves will not be picked up. Limbs that are placed beside the bagged leaves will also be picked up. The limbs will be picked up separately from the leaves. Crews will start picking up the leaves today and make several rounds throughout the whole city through December 6th. Get more details on the City of Findlay leaf pickup in the story on our website. Meantime, the Marion Township trustees have announced that their leaf pickup will also begin today in the Beechwood subdivision and continue throughout the township until completed. In Marion Township, leaves must be blown within 4 feet of the curbside and away from mailboxes or cannot be removed. In Marion Township, no bagged leaves will be collected. Get more details on Marion Township's leaf pickup in this story on our website. In Northeast Ohio, former First Energy lobbyists have avoided answering questions under oath.
It's the first time since the corrupt House Bill 6 became law 5 years ago that former First Energy employees have had to face questions under oath by a state watchdog agency. Attorneys from Ohio Consumers Council trying to get answers on how much of First Energy customers' money was used to help pass HB 6. But at every question posed, the former First Energy lobbyists pleaded their Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. So far, the scandal has led to a slew of indictments and convictions.
ONN's Lena Lai reporting. The City of Findlay has announced the date of its Christmas tree lighting ceremony. It'll happen on Friday, November 29th at 6 p.m. That's when Mayor Christina Mern will be joined by Santa Claus himself as they officially light the City of Findlay Christmas tree. See video of last year's tree lighting ceremony in this story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online at WFIN.com.
So now to our cover story this morning. On Thursday of last week, city officials released body cam footage from last month's officer-involved fatal shooting in Bernard Park. And now that we've all had a few days to watch that video and kind of digest what it shows, Police Chief James Mathias is with us in the studio this morning. Chief, thanks very much for taking the time. This is why you have body cams, right? I mean, I remember, three years ago, a similar incident, maybe it was the last officer-involved shooting, which happened before you had body cams, and there were a lot of questions and rumors and accusations about the sequence of events this is why you have the footage to, you know, answer those questions.
This is exactly right. Thanks, Chris, for inviting me this morning, and I appreciate it being on the radio with you, but it's exactly right. This type of incident is tragic, but it's money well spent on the back end for not just this incident, but all instances that our officers investigate, from the minor to the major instance.
Yeah. That being said, why did it take so long to release the body cam footage? I mean, it was nearly 3 weeks. I think it was 3 weeks ago today that this incident occurred. So why the delay in releasing the footage?
We was working with the Ohio BCI. They're the lead investigator of this case, and then we called them in. Just basically, it's for transparency and public trust. Mm-hmm. So they worked the case and want to make sure that everything was done correctly. Our officers were just interviewed last Friday, so it made sense to get everything out this last week and out. So with Veterans Day and being on Monday, we just picked a day to have it released then at that point. But we didn't want to. There was other interviews that was happening in the public that goes along with BCI, and then with talking with Prosecutor Phil Regal. We just want to make sure things were done properly.
So timeline with the investigation. And correct. To that end, it should be pointed out, because you said during the press conference last week that the video shows the officers acted appropriately under the circumstances. But again, to be clear, the official investigation is being conducted not internally, but by the Ohio Bureau of Criminal Investigation, right? And they have not yet issued their final report.
No, their investigation is going to take probably a couple months, and that before they turn it over to Prosecutor Regal, and then he'll take a look at it to basically go to the grand jury for any findings there. And that. So
you were speaking for yourself and not for BCI
in
saying that, but you seem pretty confident that this the video shows what it shows, and that this was a justified response.
Yeah, based on our training and response. Our officers acted appropriately.
And as for the officers involved, are they on leave until BCI comes back with their findings, or are they on some sort of modified duty, or what's that status?
I brought the one back this weekend, so okay. He is back to work, full duty. The other one is off. He'll be off probably on night duty probably until this is cleared up and that.
And I want to talk a little bit about the impact of an incident like this, first and foremost on those officers involved, because I think this is the part that doesn't often get discussed. This has to be, I would imagine, any law enforcement officer's worst nightmare, to not only have to discharge one's weapon in the line of duty, but knowing that someone's life was lost as a result. That's not something that is you can easily recover from.
No, there's a lot of counseling that goes on, a lot of back end trauma, and anything can spark that. So I mean, there's help that we've done already. There's help that's going to be in the future. So it's just step by step, and just keeping a close eye on those individuals that are involved. But it also affects the department. Increases our training, our knowledge, and trying to do the right things when it comes to those foot pursuits and vehicle pursuits are probably one of the most dangerous things we can get into. It's an unknown, and it's things that are outside of our control. They're running for a reason. We just don't know what that reason is until we actually catch that person or persons. And in this case, it was exactly the same as a minor infraction. But when you talk about having a gun involved, then it escalates that situation quite a bit. And very quickly
yeah.
To the point of deadly or lethal force was used.
And how many times have we said that officers in that situation have a split second to make those decisions, these life and death decisions that have to be made in the moment?
Right. Yeah. When you got gunfire coming back at you, it's there's no time to be thinking. It's time to rely back on your training that you've had, and in this case we excel in training. I think we're one of the best in Northwest Ohio training our folks, and it's not just a one and done. We train every year. There's certain things that we do. The officers on the range 4 times a year. The minimum qualifications is once a year, so we try and meet and exceed those qualifications just for this type of a reason. And Hopefully that it never happens, but our last officer-involved shooting was 10 years ago, and unfortunately, those type of things happen in this line of work.
You were mentioning this more broadly. We were talking about how this impacts the officers involved, but more broadly, this does have an impact on the entire force, I would imagine, because I would imagine there's some measure of there, but for the grace of God, go I. Here's somebody that I know, that I work with, that I may be a close friend with, who's experienced this, like we said, probably the worst nightmare that you can have. What have those conversations with your officers been like over the past 3 weeks since this happened?
I guess it's more between that brotherhood or sisterhood between the those working the street and that. So it's the administration kind of steps back a little bit, gives them the time, the space that they need to do the right things. And they've been checking up on each other. They've been communicating with the administration. But it's those type of things that you want to make sure that are happening, but you want to give them the space that gives them the time to work things through and that. So it's not just the officers either. They take it home with them. It's their, you know, it's their loved ones. It's mm-hmm. Their mothers or fathers that are concerned about them working the street. And and it goes, you know, all those different layers on that. So it's not just a one faceted answer. It's multifaceted, and you got to keep checking those boxes. So we have local citizen people on our team and that, and as well as with the county. So if it's something that our people can't handle, we reach out to the Hancock County Sheriff's Office. They have a CISM team, but it's working very well. And plus there's state folks that's offered their help as well as far as additional counseling services.
Yeah. And I would imagine not making it any easier is the fact that we live in this age of social media where anyone and everyone can kind of put their knee-jerk reactions out there for the entire world to see.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody gets to see it and stuff. And that's what the public demand was, is, you know, why not show it sooner? And that's, I guess that's comes down to the right timing. And that's mm-hmm. exactly what it was on this case. And that sometimes it's good to have it out, you know, within a couple of days. And that, I was getting requests the very first, within 24 hours or actually less than 24 hours. And that's not the time or the place. And, so that's why we chose the time that we did. Everything was done. It wasn't going to influence anything else that was done on our part of the investigation, as far as making sure our officers were interviewed, the public. There were several people that, obviously the two other people that were involved in this incident had to be interviewed. And then, there's been some ringtone camera footage out there. Those people had to be interviewed. So we didn't want to ruin anything that was going to hinder BCI's investigation. That's why we called them in to handle this thing, to make sure it was done properly.
What ultimately is the message that you want to send to the public regarding this incident, the video, and everything that has come from this over the past couple, 3 weeks?
The biggest thing is our officers that they are out there doing a job day in and day out. We pay them well, but for this type of thing, it goes back to their training, their experience, and the equipment, and our city council and the mayor, the service safety director, they've understand the importance of all those factors, and they've done the right thing. They made that investment, and thank God we have that equipment, because that's the story that gets told, and that's the evidence that backs this case up. And right, wrong, and different, I mean, a loss of a life is a loss of a life, but I say he's the one that escalated this incident to deadly force and lethal force, and our officers did the right thing. They unfortunately have to live with that, but they did the right thing.
Again, Findlay Police Chief James Mathias with us this morning, talking about the video that I think most of us have seen. If you haven't, and you are so inclined and interested, we do have the link up at our webpage, goodmornings.net. Chief Mathias, thanks very much for taking the time.
Thanks, Chris. I appreciate it.
Well, of course, online shopping has become the preferred method of checking everyone off their Christmas list in recent years. And a new CNET report finds over $76 billion worth of packages could be vulnerable to package theft this holiday season. Already, nearly one in six U.S. adults have fallen victim to porch pirates in the past year. CNET Money editor Daisha Milden joins us this morning, and it does appear, Daisha, according to your report here, that more people are starting to take this seriously, being vigilant and proactive in making sure that those gifts don't disappear before you even get a chance to put them under the tree.
Yes, that's correct. We're seeing that more people, even if it's a slight increase, are taking measures to hopefully protect their packages ahead of the holiday season. About 71% of U.S. adults are planning to take that action, hopefully to prevent package theft.
So what are some of the strategies that they are taking? What ways can we safeguard our packages, particularly those ones that are, you know, high value, the tech products and so on that are really popular every holiday season?
Yeah, the majority of survey respondents are leaning on package delivery technology. And basically what that is making sure that you're checking those alerts that are being sent to your phone, text messages, emails that let you know once your package has left the facility, all the way to when it's being delivered to your door. So the majority of respondents are leaning on that, but we still see that a good number of U.S. adults are leaning on home security cameras, whether they're buying them right now or they're using ones they already have. And then, of course, video doorbells, too. So those are the top three ways that people are leaning on, hopefully, preventing package theft this holiday season.
You know, it's worth pointing out, too, and again, we talk about protecting especially those really expensive things that we have delivered. But the fact of the matter is the porch pirates, they really don't know whether it's something that is a brand new computer or it could be a box of diapers. You know, who knows? They don't care. They're just looking to steal whatever they can, hopefully, hoping that they will, you know, hit the jackpot. So you can't think that it's not a big deal if it's something that's not expensive or particularly valuable.
That is correct. Yeah. And the best thing you can do, seeing that criminals don't know what's in your package, is making a plan before you actually buy it. So seeing if you can go ahead and have that package shipped to the store or even shipped to your carrier's location where it can be held until you're able to pick it up. Even something as simple as asking a neighbor if you know when that package is coming, because they really don't know what's in the box. Only you do. So it's best to create a plan. That way, hopefully, you can prevent this from happening, especially with this time of year.
Yeah.
And more packages and gifts and deliveries being sent.
Well, and that's always the case. And there's more packages and deliveries being sent, then there's the more opportunity, and the criminals know that. So they're going to be even more, even if you haven't had this be an issue at all, if it's going to happen, it more likely to happen this time of year. You mentioned people relying on their home security cameras, their video doorbells. These are becoming much more popular and are a way of dissuading porch pirates from approaching your home. Are there certain recommendations or certain things we could keep in mind, tips for purchasing these kind of home security items?
Two tips that I would recommend if you're looking at getting an outdoor security camera or a video doorbell. Number one, making sure that your video doorbell actually detects packages. So while we know that the video doorbells and the outdoor security cameras usually detect people and pets, you want to make sure that you look for one that detects packages. Number two is motion detection, making sure that there's a wide enough range for motion detection, no matter where the carrier puts that package, making sure that it can actually be detected. So those are my two recommendations, making sure that those also have recording availability, just so you can actually see what the storage plan is. making sure that you actually go ahead and upgrade that storage plan to where you can see past recordings. And if need be, you'll have that recording to turn over to law enforcement. So real time, but also being able to play that video back later. So those are my three.
And in terms of installing them, you want to make sure that they are visible, I would imagine, because they can't act as a deterrent if they're hidden and the thieves don't know they're there. To the extent that you're trying to avoid package theft in the first place, you want to make it obvious that, you know, that you're protected.
Yes. For example, mine is right beside my door, just as my doorbell would be.
Yeah.
And then I also have a camera right there by my back door. So making sure that those entry points are visible.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that people can go ahead and make sure that they're doing to hopefully protect themselves if they become a victim of package theft is going ahead and seeing if that credit card or debit card has purchase protection. That way, regardless of what the seller does or what trends they're seeing, if you have purchase protection with that credit card or debit card, there's a good chance that that item can either be replaced and sent a new one, or that you can get a refund.
Because again, we're talking about one in six that have already fallen victim to this. So it's not entirely out of the realm of possibility that you might be a victim, even if you have taken all of the precautions that you can. Anything else that you can recommend to folks if they do find out that they have become a victim?
Alert your neighbors. Definitely make sure that you are being vigilant, but also that your neighbors are too. Having everyone keep a very close eye. For example, my neighbors and I, we make sure that we have each other's numbers. If a package arrives, we can easily text each other and just grab the package. Number two, if you do happen to become a victim of package theft, you're going to want to make sure you turn over any footage to law enforcement. But going back to your neighbors one more time, making sure that you alert them of what's going on in the neighborhood, giving as much information as you can. That way you can all stay alert. And if you have a homeowners association, alert them as well.
Again, that is a huge number, $76 billion worth of packages that could be vulnerable to porch pirates this holiday season. You want to make sure you're doing all you can to not be among those victims. Again, CNET Money Editor Daisha Milden is with us this morning. Daisha, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
You're listening to Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
Sometimes you don't have to go very far to find the broken news. Three employees of a McDonald's restaurant in Northern Columbus are accused of assaulting a customer last month. Assaulting a customer. Police say the incident happened at the restaurant on East 17th Avenue off I-71 about 1 in the morning on October 17th. A man got into an argument with the workers over his order at the drive-thru window, and the three employees came outside to confront him, with one of them throwing a drink inside of his vehicle. According to authorities, officials say the three suspects then punched the man in the head repeatedly after he got out of his car, causing a broken orbital bone that required surgery to repair. We really need to work on our customer service skills. The employees have been identified as Cedric Love, Torshawn Williams, and Cornelius Goodrich. They have all been charged with assault. Mr. Goodrich and Mr. Williams have appeared in court and been offered bond. Mr. Love has not yet been taken into custody, apparently, is what it says here. So we really need to work on our people skills here. I would say this customer was not loving it. Wow. just take what we give you and go. That's the message at the director of that Mickey D's. Just take what we give you and go. Elsewhere in the broken news, a man in Lakeland, Florida is spending some time behind bars after he allegedly fell asleep behind the wheel last Friday night. In Brandon, Florida, is where this happened. He's from Lakeland. It happened in Brandon. Police say troopers found Lawrence McKinley shortly after midnight on Saturday asleep inside his vehicle. The biggest problem with this is that he was in the center lane of Interstate 75 at the time. He was asleep behind the wheel in the center lane of the interstate. Wow. He was arrested. Now, this is interesting. He was arrested for DUI, but he was also arrested for fleeing, which I'm not sure if he was asleep. I guess when they woke him up, he got up and took off. I'm not sure where he figured he was going in the middle lane of the interstate where he was going to escape. Fortunately, no one hurt in the incident. A court case is, or a court date is pending. Asleep in the middle lane of the interstate. Wow. Yeah, that's not subtle. I mean, let's see. Another lawyer is being accused of smuggling drugs into the jail in Harris County, Texas. That's right, you heard me correctly. Another lawyer. This is not the first time this has happened. Police say Hunter Simmons snuck drug-laced paper into the jail and gave it to a client that he was representing. Two other suspects were arrested for their role in providing Mr. Simmons with the drugs that he would later smuggle into the jail. But again, this is not the first time this has happened. Police have arrested two other lawyers in the past year in various drug smuggling schemes connected to the jail. Which, to me, is you really need to take a closer look at the attorneys in Harris County, Texas. That's three in the past year. What's going on with the attorneys in Harris County, Texas? The attorneys are all going to be behind bars before too long. That's wow. A couple of other items in the broken news. Speaking of drugs, pair of drug dealers are behind bars after accidentally leaving a hefty amount of ketamine on a train and then being bold enough to report it missing to train staff. They reported their drugs missing. Jordan McCourt Knight, age 30, and 28-year-old Harley Hall left the drugs with a street value of upwards of $50,000 on a train at Newport Station in South Wales. Mr. McCourt Knight was the one that reported them missing. That led to a lengthy investigation, with the pair now finally being brought to justice. This happened, actually, back in 2019. So the wheels of justice in merry old England move very slowly. But they have finally now been brought to justice. According to local news reports, the duo, it turns out, were part of a major drug trafficking ring. And probably not the smartest part of the drug trafficking ring. A subsequent search of Mr. McCourt Knight's house turned up drugs and drug paraphernalia, several cell phones, and more than $2,000 in cash. Meanwhile, Mr. Hall was found with thousands of dollars of cash and more than a kilogram of marijuana. Mr. McCourt Knight pleaded guilty to 7 counts in all, will serve 6 years and 3 months in jail. Mr. Hall also pleaded guilty on multiple counts. He will be in prison for 5 years and 10 months. But that's just, you leave your drugs on a transit train and then report them missing. How do you report that missing? I mean, what is that like when you go up to the lost and found counter? Excuse me, did anyone turn in a bag of drugs? I left a bag of drugs on the train. Yeah. And finally, in the broken news this morning, this is kind of weird. Sammy Hagar. Yes, that's Sammy Hagar, former frontman of Van Halen. And celebrity chef Guy Fieri make the broken news because the pair are out more than $1 million after two trucks carrying tequila from their joint business venture were hijacked. Apparently, the pair, Mr. Hagar, Mr. Fieri, launched Santo, the tequila distillery, back in 2019. The trucks were transporting more than 4,000 cases of tequila into the U.S. from Mexico earlier this month when the hijacking happened in Laredo, Texas, right there on the border. A representative for Sammy Hagar tells Fox News the hijacking and robbery are believed to be an organized crime effort. Mr. Hagar called the incident a huge setback, and but they added that they are glad that nobody was hurt. Wow. I wonder, did they realize who they were stealing the vodka from? I mean, was this a crime of opportunity, or were Sammy Hagar and Guy Fieri actually targeted in this? But that's crazy. They're vodka hijacked. There you go. That is today's Broken News Report, an update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
A worldwide organization that makes a difference.
I'm John LaRich with LaRich Chevrolet Cadillac. I am proud to be a Rotarian for many reasons, like our Polio Plus initiative. Since 1985, we've immunized over 3 billion children worldwide and have seen a reduction of cases by 99%.
To become part of an organization that will eradicate polio, consider joining the Findlay Rotary Club. It's easy and very rewarding. Go to FindlayRotary.org and click on Join.
This message provided by WFIN.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. And this is very timely, given that it's Monday, we're heading back to work, and maybe you don't want to really head back to work on this Monday. You'd rather, you know, stay in bed and make it a three-day weekend, you know, play hooky, whatever. And, you know, in the forecast, they're talking about the possibility of snowflakes later this week. Our first snow, not going to stick, but we're going to see snowflakes maybe later this week. A recent survey finds that the average American thinks about being somewhere else at least 40 minutes per day. And this number goes up to 46 minutes per day in the wintertime. So if you are dreaming of paradise, being someplace else, you are not alone. Especially this time of year. Of the 2,000 respondents in the survey, 63% said that they would trade winter for a more tropical destination. I was actually a little surprised it was only 63%. But that's what it says, 63%. 45% say that they keep a photo of a tropical location nearby so that they can look at it, which may or may not be a good thing. I mean, you know, that may be making the problem worse. You know what I mean? Knowing what you're missing. This survey was commissioned, it should be pointed out, by the website CheapCaribbeanVacations.com. Michael Lowry of Cheap Caribbean Vacation says, taking a break is essential for everyone's well-being. A true escape from your everyday life, even just for a few days, can work wonders, which is kind of what you would expect a Caribbean vacation company to say. But the average respondent in the survey spends 21 minutes per week watching travel videos and 22 minutes researching ticket prices. So we actually kind of go the next step here. In fact, daydreaming about vacation is so distracting that 36% of workers say that their productivity suffers in the wintertime as a result, although 50% of workers claim to find it motivating to think about their travel goals while they are working. Half try to, I think basically we're just trying to justify it to ourselves. We're just trying to justify our dreams that, yes, it's making me more productive thinking about my vacation goals, I guess, during work. So anyway, just if you are thinking about that today, just know you are far from alone. So we were saying a little bit earlier, happening around town, this is great, especially if you miss the chance to catch dueling pianos when MCPA did the show earlier this month. The Hancock County Agricultural Society is giving you another chance to enjoy the fun. Haley Reese is with us, fair manager. And Haley, thanks for taking the time. So this is actually your Dueling Pianos event is coming up actually Thanksgiving weekend, right?
Yes, it is on the 30th.
So tell us a little bit about this event. You're actually doing this right there at the Old Millstream Fairgrounds, or at the Old Millstream building on the fairgrounds, right?
Yes, correct.
So this is going to be a fundraiser for capital projects. Specifically what? Tell us what's going on at the fairgrounds, or what you hope will be going on that these funds will be used for.
Well, in 2025, we have a whole bunch of projects lined up. Everyone has seen how many projects we've done this year, from the shower house and the bathrooms, and we have the biggest prize we have our eye on for 2025 is a new small animal building for our smaller animals, like our rabbits and our chickens and our waterfowl, who are just exploding in growth, and they really need a new home that is not tense during the week of the fair. So that is our big goal that we have for 2025. So our fundraising events like this one is going to really help propel those projects forward.
So, and I know we've talked about it in the past, how there has been a concerted effort in recent years to update many of the facilities on the fairgrounds. You were mentioning during this past fair, we noticed a lot of improvements, and that being the next big wish list item, and there are others even beyond that moving forward.
Yes, absolutely. We have so many projects lined up, and this year all of the things that we got done and how great those projects were and the benefit, like the junior fair building, the benefit that those new projects paid for the fairgrounds or paid to the fairgrounds were exponential. And so everybody's incredibly motivated and incredibly excited to launch into 2025 with these new capital projects.
And these don't just benefit the fair itself. I mean, obviously, that is a big part of it. But really, throughout the year, there are a lot of events, obviously, that happen at the fairgrounds, a lot of opportunities to host even more events with the right facilities. So this pays dividends beyond just that one week of the fair every year.
Absolutely. And for instance, this new small animal building, it's going to be a Four Seasons building. It's going to be a building that we can use year round. So not only will we have the Old Millstream Center, but we'll have this additional building space. It's going to be big. It's going to be beautiful. And it's going to allow extra projects and extra events and extra things to happen all year round, which not only benefits the fairgrounds, but it benefits the community in Hancock County as a whole, which is our ultimate goal.
Yeah, the goal being to make the fairgrounds really even more of a crown jewel within the community. Now, Dueling Pianos, we mentioned, is coming up at the end of the month. Give us all of the details on this.
Okay, so November 30th at the Old Millstream Center. The doors will open at 5:30, and the pianos will start playing at 6:30. We're going to have gun raffles, silent auction baskets. False Court Brewing downtown is making our own special Hancock County Ag Society beer that we are going to reveal that evening.
Okay.
I'm so excited about it. It's going to be awesome. Gillig Winery will be there. Then we will have grazing tables, desserts. It's going to be awesome. And again, any and all of this goes directly towards these capital funds and projects. So you can find tickets on our website. If you go to hancockfairgrounds.org, there's a get ticket link right on the front. You can click on that. Table C8, so you can reserve an entire table for yourself, or you can just buy individual tickets. This event is open to the public. There are no restrictions. Please come and support our youth in Hancock County.
Absolutely. And again, just to underscore what you were saying, you can purchase individual tickets and also entire tables. So if you want to bring a group, it's going to be a really fun evening. And, you know, like we said, I know the Dueling Pianos performances that the Marathon Center puts out every year really sell out fast. So this is yet another opportunity to check out this fun show, and probably best to get your tickets sooner rather than later, because these are always really popular events.
Yes, and they're really fun. They're a neat thing to be at. You can request your own song. You can just party along to what they're playing. And to me, what an easy gift to give to friends, family, coworkers. So
yeah,
come on out to the Ag Society Dueling Pianos.
Okay, we've got a link on our webpage for more information to get the tickets and get more info about the event. And as you said, it is more than just the pianos, although that's a great, you know, highlight of the evening. But a lot of things are going to be going on at the same time. So it's going to be an evening of fun on November 30th. And again, Haley Reese with us, the Hancock County Ag Society. Thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Hey, you have a great day. Thank you.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us this morning on the program. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage, and that is goodmornings.net. Coming up tomorrow on the program, on the lookout for fake products during the holidays. A deal isn't a deal unless you're putting the genuine article under the tree. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.